Good morning, everyone, and warm welcome to all of you. Since the beginning of the year, we've looked at the book of Jonah, and last week, Jack spoke about the body of Christ. I do hope that as you are listening to all the sermons, I think one topic that comes across again and again is understanding unity in Christ. I would challenge you to think this through simply because we all have our own ideas of what unites us, all right? But what the Bible says about unity challenges the norms and ideas that we hold on to. And it breaks new ground and it brings healing among different groups, communities, races, and so forth. And I think this is a very important thing that we should allow to take place within our lives, within the church, simply because this is one of the key things that the Holy Spirit does. And if we choke this movement out, we will not allow the Holy Spirit to move the way He wants to in the church. In the subject of unity, I think we all know that when we are united in Christ, wonderful things happen, and the body is strong, and the nation is strong, and the family is strong. And we begin to see how the love of God is practiced, is shared among God's people. And this love, this service, the kindness that comes through all of it brings a lot of healing and encouragement into the body. All of us, even myself, sometimes we don't push and think deeply enough about a certain subject, but the Bible does. And we assume that, you know, what we believe to that defines unity, we assume those truths are enough, nothing more. But as we are seeing here, we do need to be careful simply because there's so much more that the Bible provides and teaches us concerning unity. And the other factor is that since we are a broken people, a fallen people, there are things that needs to be addressed in our lives that get in the way, okay? And we will look at that too. I think last week, Jacqueline even looked at that, you know, what disrupts unity. So I'm just going to read the scripture text. It's taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is to giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." All right? So you find that, you know, it covers the very same substance that we heard last week, taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit distributes gifts, but there are concerns regarding, you know, the usage of gifts, simply because people do get proud and arrogant when they have a gift. So, you know, the subject about the gifts of the Holy Spirit comes with a lot of warnings, okay? And we should appreciate that. We should really think about that simply because that's true. You know, if we don't heed those warnings, then there will be an abuse of that gift. So we live in a world where, you know, there is a lot of emphasis, a lot of honor and glory given to people who are gifted and talented. You know, I think this is a logo of some kind of children's school, okay? And what it tells you is that if you are gifted and talented, you are the rising star. You are the one who's going to change the organization. You're going to change the face of the earth. You're going to change life. You're going to change everything, you know. And because of your gifts and talents, you're going to be a huge blessing to the people around you, okay? So, you know, we put a lot of emphasis on giftings itself, you know, and people with gifts and talents are honored, and simply because we are hoping that that gifts that will, you know, will change everything, okay? We'll get things sorted out in this world. But when you look at the Bible, this isn't true, okay? It says something totally different. So, you know, for an example, you know, let's say intelligence. We put a lot of currency on intelligence. You know, we want our children to be intelligent. You know, we do that simply because we believe that intelligent people are successful people. You know, so we drive that idea. But if you look around and you really think about it, you find that, yes, intelligence is useful. It is helpful. But it does not guarantee success, you know, in a holistic way. It does not guarantee that the relationships you have will be good and sound. It does not, you know, show that you will be an honest person. In fact, one MDB was led by a lot of intelligent people, okay? All right? You know, so there can be an abuse of that gift. So simply, you know, we've been led to understand that giftings and talents is the answer. But the scripture says giftings and talents is not an answer. Jesus is. Okay, it is given to aid to help the church. But the real thing is Jesus Christ. You know, it is Him who brings changes. It is Him who transforms lives, okay? So if you pay attention, you know, we should rethink how we understand giftings and talents. And we shouldn't have this whole idea that that is the one that makes us rise and change everything. Yes, God uses men and women to bring changes, you know, but that's a different thing, all right? You know, they were used by God not because they were extremely gifted or talented. They were used by God simply because they were faithful and devoted. Okay, and you find that if you start with a gift, let's say, you know, if you start with intelligence or musical gift, you know, you cannot draw morality from it. You cannot draw a vision from it. If you do draw a vision from it, it will be kind of a selfish one if it is constructed around the gift. So I can sing, I want to be the greatest singer, I want to have a huge audience, and I want a lot of people to like me. So, I mean, most of the things that you draw just from the gift leads you nowhere, okay? It doesn't teach you what is right and wrong. It doesn't establish truth and a vision for you. It doesn't teach you humility. It doesn't teach you love. It's just a gift. You find that all these things that make a gift meaningful comes from a different source, okay? And that's Jesus Christ. And you find that, you know, it's through being developed in faithfulness, in devotion, that's what that constructs a meaningful life. That's what brings love and hope and truth in the hearts of people. And you find, you know, when God wants to use you, He doesn't plop a gift in your life. He does that, but that's not the main event. The crucial thing is that He forges you. He changes your heart. He breaks you. He molds you. You know, He puts you through the refiner fire, and He makes you the person in His own image. So there are two different things. And many times we confuse the two ideas. We think, you know, that God's hands is on the gifted people. No, God's hands is on the people who believe in Him, who call Him Lord. God will use those who are devoted and faithful. He doesn't need the gifted people because He gives the gifts. Okay, He is the source of gifts. He doesn't need our gift. He gives us all our gifts and talents, you know, and He can simply and easily give anyone the gift that they need to do the task. But the more important thing, you know, is that God sees the heart of people, all right? So we have to pay careful attention to that as we approach the whole subject of gifts. All right? So when we read the text just now, Paul says, be sober-minded, okay? You know, have the right understanding. Okay, and of course, you know, in 2 Corinthians, you know, there's always the mistake that we overesteem our gifts or underesteem our gifts. Okay, we say, you know, our gifts are too small, too meaningless, too useless. It doesn't mean anything to the whole body, all right? And then there are some people say, yeah, it's my gift, you know, and it's my gift that is going to change the church and bring numbers into the congregation and save souls, you know, and without my gift, nothing is going to happen. So what Paul is saying here, you know, what the scripture says, you know, don't make those two mistakes. All right? And he uses the analogy of the body. He says, every gift is given by God. Okay? So he says, why you shouldn't think this way, you know, simply because God provide the gift. Okay, he gave it to you. So it's not yours to say, it's mine to control, mine to hold, mine to, you know, to receive honor for. No, it is given to you. Okay, a spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit. So you got no claim to it. Okay, and what the Bible says, not only does God give the gift, the faith to use the gift is also given by God. Okay, that means, you know, the desire to share that gift, you know, to teach or to prophesy or to encourage people, that whole thing is not, doesn't come because you are a good person, you and I are a great person and we'd like to do that. That very faith, that very calling also comes from God. So he tells us, hey, be sober-minded. And Paul knows it very well because he wraps it all around with the story of salvation. He knows that, you know, if he was released to do what he desired, he was running on a murderous rampage, killing Christians, using all his talents, his abilities for that very purpose. And so when the Holy Spirit gave him gifts, you know, it's very different. He realized that, you know, these things are not my own, you know, and it's not because of my great faith, you know, that I am using these gifts. It is all given by God. Okay, so in order for us to understand, you know, about receiving and using, we must know that, you know, the Holy Spirit, God, is the source, okay, of all this. You know, this is the work of God. And so when we understand it is the work of God, then we will allow it to work for God, okay? So he uses this whole idea, okay, just as each of us has one body with many members, okay? You know, this whole picture, the image of a body to explain what gifts are and how they work, okay, all right? So the first thing about the human body, it's living, all right? And that's the same thing. The church is living. It's alive in the Spirit, okay? We were dead in transgression, made alive in Spirit. So it's a living organism. And that means it's growing, it's transforming, it's changing, it's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It's not static. Okay, and so same thing with your gift. It grows as you begin to know Jesus Christ. And then the body is single-minded. Yes, we all have one brain, and thank God for that. And the church is to be governed by the mind of Christ. So that is so important in all what the New Testament says about the church and the gifts. It must be governed by the mind of Christ. You know, and we must have the mind of Christ. And that's what scriptures encourage us to have. And then the other interesting thing about the body is the diversity, all right? It's complex. It has so many different parts working together, okay? And yes, we know that well, yes or not, okay? I was talking to our second floor landlord, so he was talking about helping out a home where children are severely handicapped. So we were talking about, you know, how the simple skill sets that we take for granted is something that, you know, has to be worked on so hard and taught to children who suffer such condition, okay? And one of the things that, you know, that you teach them is to eat, all right? Yeah, for us, no issues there, you know, handling a fork and spoon or whatever it is. But for them to take, when the coordination falls apart, you know, everything is, a simple task becomes so difficult. When the body refuses to cooperate with each other's part and with the mind, then everything falls apart. And that simple task, you know, becomes difficult. And it's the same thing with us. You know, and we've experienced this, you know, that when we are not one in mind and we don't work with it each other, and the very simple task that God gives us becomes difficult. You know, when we don't work as one, all right, we start fighting. And so, you know, what Paul is saying, yes, we are diverse, but we are one, okay? And that's the last part. You know, unity is cooperation of diverse parts, okay? Unity in diversity, and that is important for us to understand. I think this verse, we have to keep in mind, each members belong to each other. So you find that, you know, when we have that kind of thinking, you know, then we know how to work with the gift that we have, simply because the gifts that is provided for us is for the other person, not for us. So these are important things. And you find that in Corinthians, Paul says, you know, let me show you a better way. And of course, from 12, he moves to chapter 13, where it speaks about love, okay? The amazing chapter of love that is said in marriages, often read in marriages. But it is meant for the body of Christ, okay? And here also, this is what Paul does in verse 9. He says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So very quickly, I mean, he goes into the Christian ethic, the Christian life, and it is driven by love. So as I said before, the gifts cannot give this to you. Okay, the abilities cannot define love for you. Christ does. But if you allow, you know, the love of Christ to define the gift, to show how it should be expressed, how it should be used, when and to whom, and how it is given and how it is developed, then the gift becomes a blessing. Okay? But if you strip it from this part, then you can never understand your gift. So you find, yes, you know, people are interested in knowing their gifts and receiving gifts from God. Yes, that's good. And people also are interested to know how to use that gift effectively. You know, but the best way to know how to receive and use a gift is to understand how to receive and share love. The more people focus on this, the more you set yourself to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And that's how it works. You begin to see that the most, you know, suddenly when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and you begin to orientate your life, you know, in light of who you are to the people around you. This is usually, I mean, not all the time, but this is how it works with people. Initially, they want a gift, but they desire a gift because of an identity crisis. They feel that, you know, I'm nobody, but if I get a gift, I'll be somebody. And I think Jack spoke about that. That's wrong. Okay, if you do that, you kill yourself. And all the reasons that is behind your desire for gift is selfish, egocentric, and you will not help others. All right? So for an example of this was, I remember talking to one person, you know, and so we were having these conversations. And this was when healing evangelist was pretty popular, okay? So he was talking to me, and he was telling, I want a gift of healing. Then I was listening, yeah, that's good, you know, we need that in church. Or then he said, I want to become a healing evangelist, you know, and then I want to go from church to church and preach. And then he just started, you know, describing how he will be a successful healing evangelist, all right? So you find, you know, it just kind of took on a life of its own. Yes, I want this gift of healing, but so that I can be this great healing evangelist, okay? And what you would want to hear in the conversation is this, actually. There are many people who are in need of healing, and I want to pray for them. But that is kind of blotted out. You know? So that's a problem when you tie your gift to your identity and you know, look to it to boost your identity, that's going to kill you, all right? That's not going to work. But rather, your identity comes from the fact that you are loved from God. Love, you have received love from God. You know, you experience His love on a daily basis. And you see Him shower you with His kindness. You know, and the gifts are ministered to you through His grace. And then you realize you are convicted by the Holy Spirit. You can share those things. And you start doing smaller things. And then the Holy Spirit starts equipping you with necessary gifts to display His love, to build the church for His glory. All right? So this is so important for us to understand and develop in our lives. Okay. So, and the best way to learn how to use the gifts of the Spirit is, of course, from Jesus Christ. Okay, and then the apostles in the Bible. I had to be selective about today's sermon because actually there's a lot to cover. But the key ideas are central, okay? We must understand how this works in our life, okay? So if you look at Jesus Christ, he always operated in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, the more familiar ones are healing, all right? He healed people. He was able to discern the thoughts of people. He knew what people was thinking, all right? He was able to, you know, do miraculous acts, all right? He multiplied bread, walked on water, and these are incredible things, okay? And so there's a whole bunch of things that is happening. He was teaching, you know, he was an evangelist, he was a pastor, and yes, you know, he is the Son of God. So it's him, you know, before we all were embraced into his body, he did the work. It was through his hands, and we see all the gifts was displayed in his life, all right? So when you look at Jesus Christ, you know, what's very interesting is that he didn't use the gifts to build his reputation, all right? Yes, you know, his reputation was built that he had this grace on God, but it was not a real case of reputation simply because he was very careful. He kept telling people, don't talk about this. Okay, even told the devil, you know, you don't tell people who I am, okay? The demons that he cast out. And he didn't want all this to build his reputation. He wanted all this to be as a sign that God is with the people, that God loves them, that God has not forgotten them, that God has come and sent his son, the Messiah, to save them. So you see, you know, it's subtle, but it's very important to mark the differences between these two ideas. Because if you herald your gifts and say, you know, I'm somebody because I can heal all your sicknesses. If you market that idea rather than you tell the idea that I've come because I love you. You know, those both things will lead you to two different destinations. And Jesus was very sensitive of that. You know, in fact, the whole bread story, he was so, you know, I mean, he was put off by people simply, and he told them directly, you know, after he did the miracle of multiplying bread, people followed him because bread was a necessary thing during that time. You know, people wanted it. And so he told them, don't follow me because you want to eat bread. Then he says, you know, follow me because I am the bread of life. Partake of my life. So he never used those miracles and those gifts in a way that is selfish. I mean, the gift of discernment is pretty cool, yes or not? You know, when you talk to somebody and before they say something, you know, this person thinking like that, okay? And I mean, that gift has fallen on some of us, you know, we will become very dangerous people, all right? If we can read somebody else's mind, okay? But Jesus was very careful in using that gift. You know, he doesn't say, I know what you're saying, and he didn't mock people that way. But he understood the hearts of people, and he responded with all seriousness. Even the Pharisees, when they came with wrong intentions, he used his understanding, you know, to respond to their wrong thinking. And when people came to him with brokenness, you know, like the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, he used his ability to understand their brokenness, express it to them, and show them that there is healing in this place. There is a better way to live, to understand life. So that's the thing. And you find that when Jesus speaks and displays the gifts, you know, the more important things are the following, you know, the Father's will, the Lordship of Christ, that God is with the people, the holiness of God, an invitation to holiness, love and unity, the servant king, the suffering servant, and his sacrificial life. So it was these themes that actually, you know, brought meaning, and it was the manual of how to use the gifts of the Spirit. And Jesus used the gifts, you know, from this place, you know. He was very concerned about love, mercy, holiness. He was very sacrificial and humble in his ways. And the gift found its expression in its in these truths. Right? And so if we want to understand the gifts of the Holy Spirit, this, you know, we should also be filled with all of these things. Okay? And there is no end in spending on all of this. All right? So that is crucial. Then the other thing that we have to bear in mind, the gifts is power given by the Holy Spirit. You find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power, and when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, the Holy Spirit empowered the church. And the Holy Spirit gave the church a whole bunch of gifts. This is most of it. It's not an exhaustive list, you know, but it covers quite most of it stated in the Bible, and we believe there's much more. Okay, so the point here is this. When the early church was started, yes, you know, it was difficult. They were under-resourced. You know, there were people from different backgrounds who didn't know God. There were the Gentile converts who really had a totally different mindset. And they all came, okay? They all came. And this was the people that the church started with, all right? And so it's difficult, okay? You find that, you know, there were not enough trained people. There were not enough people equipped to do the job. So what happens here, you know, God knows the church was in need. God knows that the church needs the gifts to operate, to do well. God knows that people need to be filled with his power, you know, to help them, you know, do the work that he has commissioned them to do. So God, you know, through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit graciously distributes gifts to help the church grow. And that's the idea. That's why God gives gifts. Okay, so it kind of, you know, amazing and interesting. And as I even reflect in my own life in church, or even you may say the whole journey of preparing to plant this church, I remember very well, you know, when it was a Pastor Nicholas, you know, he spoke at our church camp, you know, so he operated in a gift of knowledge. And he had a prophetic word. And I would say more of a gift of knowledge, because he knew what was happening in my heart. And during a service, he spoke that out to both of us, you know, and how God is going to use us. And I broke down and cried, but it was so important for me to hear that word. And I was so encouraged, you know, knowing that God knows what's really happening inside me. And then after, you know, both of us talking, then we decided to do this. So, of course, I've known Andrew a long time, and I prayed about it, and I said, okay, let me talk to him. So I spoke to him and explained, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I said, I don't expect you to join me, but I would encourage you to take 2 weeks, you know, some time off praying about this, all right? But if you are settled in this church, you can stay, you know, no worries about it. And after I finished that, he just looked at me and said, actually, you know, I mean, what he was telling me, God is much more faster than me. He said, actually, God led me in a fast 2 weeks ago. And he already told me to prepare myself for this. And I'm ready to go. All right? So he is operating in a bunch of gifts. But the amazing thing, you see, because the usage of the gifts is to encourage and edify the church, to build us up. So the thing is, you know, here both of us wondering, you know, where we're going, who's coming, and how it's going to be. You know, and my children were particularly concerned, you know. I mean, we've been in the church all our life, but a church with four of us, you know, that's family, you know, church. So how that's going to work? You know, and then when they heard that news, they were greatly encouraged, okay? And you find, like the verse says, you know, we all were strengthened, we all were comforted, you know, we all were edified, you know. All these things that people were saying to us was a confirmation that God is in all of this, all right? And so what else happened in that journey? You know, then another group of people called up and they said, you know, they want to help in the finances, okay? And some of them gave out of mercy. Some of them gave operating in a gift of giving, you know, and there's a whole different bunch of things that's happening. You know, people operating under the Spirit. And someone offered us a place to start the church, all right? I know, and I think I've shared about that. And so all this is God moving, okay? And people operating in gifts. And I think the other important thing that happened to us is, you know, God began to speak into our hearts using different people of how this church would look like and what are the things that I need to focus on. So it was not, you know, me doing this alone or us doing it alone. There's a lot of different people in the body that contributed towards this. There was a lot of people God used to mold and to develop, you know, the vision, you know, the ideas, the teaching, you know, the understanding. I know I had to learn from a lot of people. And all this led, you know, to be a great blessing to me personally. And so you look at this verses, all right? You know, that's what the scripture says. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. You know, in 1 Corinthians 14:5, so that the church may be edified, okay? Built up, okay? Edified, that's what it means. You know, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel those that build up the church. That is the emphasis. In verse 11, it says, I long to see that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So Paul is saying, I'm not going to give you a gift, but rather I'm going to use my gift as a blessing to you, that you may be encouraged and I may be encouraged as you, your gift is a blessing to me. Mutual encouragement, mutual building of faith. And in Ephesians says, you know, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And this clearly states why we use the gift. Not for us, but to build others, to encourage others, to help others, you know, to guide. And all the gifts work around that. And so even in my own life, you know, there's no shortage of testimonies of how God has used, you know, the gifts that he has distributed in the hearts of people in a way that has blessed, you know, my family, the whole ministry. And without this, it would have been impossible, you know, for us to do what we have done. All right, so it's not a one-person effort, okay? So this is needed to make the point. All the gifts are not with Adam, okay? And this will never be the situation, all right? God sends a whole bunch of people with different gifts to bless me, to work together, and my gifts to bless them, and all together we make the church, all right? So any takers? You know, this is crucial. And I think about how the gifts work. Maybe I do have a different perspective because of the conversations with all. And I mean, let me share just a few things. For example, when Jack was to preach, we were talking about what she was going to preach about. And so she said she wanted to speak about the church, the you know, working together under the power of the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the church has so much potential to do amazing things for Jesus Christ. Okay, so when I was listening to her, I understand, okay, now she is seeing this because the pastoral calling is working in her life. And she's beginning to see, the Holy Spirit is opening to her, you know, the potential of the church. But not only that, you know, she understands this because of her own personal experience. As we all know, last year she went through a very difficult season, both Alvin and her, and they lost a child, okay? And they are so grateful that the church walked with them through this very difficult moment. So that adds on to the vision and the potential of the church. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. Suddenly you are awakened, you know, that if we get together under Christ's leadership, in the worst situations, you know, in difficult situations, we can help, we can bless, we can build, we can help people grow. The Holy Spirit consumes our heart with that vision, with that love, with that desire. All right? So it's always like that, you know. And then here I am, you know, I mean, I've had conversations with several of you concerning leadership. So I remember talking to some of you. So I'll be praying and preparing, you know, discerning, you know, how God is going to wants to use this person. And many of the conversations, I'll go and sit down and I'll say, you know, I think you should consider this. And many of them, they tell me, you know, Pastor, we have been praying about this yesterday and we are pretty ready to do this. So, of course, that moment, I say, oh, God, thank you. You know, this is not about me. I don't have to convince them. You are working. You know, it's crazy, some of the conversations that you have, because there are people who come and tell me, you know, in their work life, and they say, you know, they said, you know, I cannot live around money. You know, I cannot live for money. There is more to my work than the pursuit of money. And you already know these are the signs that a spiritual gift, you know, is going to be imparted to that person here. Because the heart is being shifted to a whole different direction. You already begin to know that God is preparing. And people talk about the church. People talk about, you know, lives. Talk about brokenness. Talk about healing. And all this shows, you know, that the Holy Spirit is ready to impart a gift in your life. And is preparing us all to do so. And I would encourage you, you know, fully walk in that way of love. When the Holy Spirit, you know, bruises your heart with the brokenness of somebody else, and suddenly that becomes your business, and that becomes the thing that you want to bear with that person so that you may bring, you know, hope and healing and encouragement, the Holy Spirit will definitely give you a gift because He wants to build a church. You know, and that's how it works. I know many people, you know, sometimes, you know, we do all this written test to discover our gift and say, oh, I have a gift of teaching. And you know, we answer, you know, 20 questions, 30 questions. You know, I don't know whether that's really helpful and all that. But what I can say and what many people have concluded and what you can conclude from the scriptures is simply this, you know, the gift comes, you know, when you actually move in the way of love. You understand that gift. And it is developed over a season. And sometimes, you know, you have to take different steps to fully appreciate your own gift. You have to be kind. You have to serve. You know, you have to do the simpler things. Simply because, you know, the whole question is, are you looking for honor or are you looking to be a blessing to another people? It has to be sorted out and God will search your heart. You know, so that's how it works. Okay. So these are all the gifts. And in church, we do need it, okay? You know, it's amazing to see when God heals, when God gives a word of knowledge, when God encourages people, when there are people who are, you know, able to organize the things that need to be done in the church. And many things that happen in church is simply because of that. You know, there are people who have been given gifts by God. Perhaps they themselves don't know. But amazingly, they find themselves operating in this way. I think one of the things also that amazes me many times also is how sometimes, you know, when we come to a prayer meetings or run a service, you know, even though we did not plan, but all our thoughts are synchronized. And everybody does their part to bring things together. And you find, yes, they are operating in a spiritual gift. They are moving under the power of God. They recognize what God needs to do, wants to do in a given service, in a given prayer meeting, and does that. And it's so amazing, all right? So, of course, I mean, we shouldn't be hung up about ourselves, what we have, what we can, what we cannot do. You know, we shouldn't be hung up with the fact whether we may have earthly talents and skill sets. All those are useful, okay? The talents that you grew up with, you know, that has been transferred to you by family or the skill sets that you have developed are given by God. And they are the same kind of vessels that if you dedicate to God, will be used to God. But if, you know, you don't have plenty of those, you know, the Holy Spirit distributes gifts. All right? And if you really begin to be filled with a simple idea that you want to bless somebody, you want to reach out to someone for the sake of Jesus Christ, He will give you the necessary gifts. And as you learn how to cooperate with the others who have different gifts to fulfill that task, your gift will grow. And if we serve together in unity, Christ's name will be honored. Okay, and that's God's beautiful plan. So, church, I do want to challenge you. I do believe, you know, we are, you know, at a time where we have to think about these things. If you earnestly desire, you know, to grow in these things, I do invite you to come and talk with me, all right? And if you want to understand where you are in this journey, and if there are questions, I'll be glad to spend time with you. But I do want you to take courage and have a bigger vision and understand this is what God wants to do. This is how the Holy Spirit works in our life. Amen.